This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Civic engagement. Lots of ways for residents to plug into their local government. There's voting, although the last mayoral election had a whopping 14% turnout, and that's considered good. And there's also volunteering, and then there's showing up for meetings and getting informed. So there's a lot of work involved there. But if you don't do it, what happens? Do you get the leaders and the policies that you want for your city? Are you engaged? Do you feel like you do not have a voice in city government? Or maybe the city government's not listening to your voice. Maybe it's being ignored. We're joined by Ron Nirenberg, District 8 City Council member, formerly of the Annenberg Public Policy Foundation, and Larry Schuller, mediator, facilitator, and public engagement consultant. Welcome to The Source, both of you, Ron and Larry.
Thanks very much, David.
Thanks, David.
Awesome. And the phone lines are open. Call in. The number is 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org. Tweet us at tprsource. Do you feel like you have a voice in city government? Are you civically engaged? And what's up with that? So let me ask you, Ron, why are you concerned about people if they feel like they're civically engaged, if they feel like they have a voice?
Well, I mean, it's extremely important because I think there's a very strong link between good government and public participation. And the places that we see low voter turnout and low civic participation is also places where we have some of the, you know, difficult challenges to overcome with building a city. In San Antonio, in the midst of our incredible growth, again, our population will be doubling in the next 35 years, we have some pretty important, tough choices to make. And we're not going to gain the trust and approval of voters and the public and the people that we need to support these initiatives unless they're involved. And so it's vitally important. And I think it's probably the most important concern that we have as a city.
And Larry Schuller, what do you think about if people feel like they're shut out, what happens?
Well, a lot of things can happen, David. I certainly would agree with a lot of the councilmen's sentiments that, you know, voters who feel disengaged will perhaps, you know, fire their employees, so to speak, fire people like Councilman Nirenberg if they feel as if they are not able to affect decisions that are affecting them. I mean, it's not a whole lot different than being in a family situation where you feel like a partner, a spouse, or a parent is making major decisions without any sort of say or input. You know, you feel very taken aback by that. And so I think there are ramifications at the ballot box. But as the councilman hinted, I think also there are major consequences potentially for the policymaking process. You know, when policymakers spend a lot of time crafting a proposal that doesn't involve public input, a lot of times members of the public are opposed to the policy not because they're actually concerned about the substance, but more that they're concerned that they weren't consulted on something that could impact their tax bills or their quality of life. And so, you know, beyond simply affecting who gets elected and who doesn't, I think it can really arrest some of the progress a city is trying to make if they have to essentially start from the drawing board based on the fallout from poor public participation.
We hear how much anger there is in the electorate right now. Of course, this is all part of the presidential politics stuff, but it's also happening on the local level, Ron, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think, unfortunately, the partisan divisiveness that you've seen at the national and state level does trickle down to the local level, but it's not all about partisan politics. Also, I think there's been in our history, unfortunately, especially with the glare of the media and the scrutiny of the media, there has been a slow drip of incidents that would cause the public to believe that they're not part of the process. Their voice, in fact, is not being heard, or if they truly understand how the process worked, that it's rigged against them. You know, these things happen when there's a breach of ethics, or if there's a council member or several or mayor.
Or the FBI sweeps in like we saw in Crystal City.
Exactly. So, you know, every time we see a public institution's entrusted members, you know, acting in a way that doesn't best serve their public is a huge problem for civic engagement, civic participation.
But Larry, do we see that sometimes the people will rise up? They feel like their voices are not being heard, and then they get frustrated, and sometimes they just react, and it may be misdirected anger, but they just want to be seem like they have some sort of control over what's going on.
Yeah, David, I think there are challenges when it relates to both the staging and the timing of a lot of our public participation. San Antonio, I think, is an exception to this. Austin is an exception. But in a lot of American cities, you know, the public is getting a chance to weigh in at, you know, 10:30 at night for 3 minutes, having waited, you know, 10 hours for that amount of time, and they're speaking right before a vote's going to be taken. And similarly, the staging of it is much like you would expect to find in a courtroom or a lecture hall or even a house of worship, where you're being sort of preached to rather than part of a dialogue with the people convening that conversation. So I think a lot of people resent that when it comes to the management and the stewardship of their dollars and their public domain, you know, being treated in that fashion where they're being involved at the last minute and in such a way that it's sort of an us versus them dynamic just in the physicality of it. I think all of that contributes to some of this anger, even at the local level, where partisanship may not be as much of an issue, but basic feelings of mutual respect are.
So, Ron, you have floated a consideration about maybe moving the election day for municipal elections, so that would bump up, you hope, voter turnout. Talk about that.
Yeah, well, you know, voting at the voting booth is probably the ultimate act of civic participation, by no means the only, and maybe not even the most important, but voting turnout is a great indicator of the level of civic participation in our local government, the front door politics of San Antonio. And we have voting turnout that should embarrass anybody who's interested in a healthy democracy. You know, in the May 9th, 2015 election, we had 10 council districts, a mayor election, 6 ballot propositions, and we managed to get 12% of registered voters to the polls. That tells you that the system is not working. It doesn't mean necessarily that we have to change everything. We also have to do better in ensuring that that the system works for the average citizen. But let's also look at ways that we can improve voter turnout so that when we do have elections, we know that the results and the people elected are going to be accountable to a much larger population.
So we have the November election coming up that's going to be huge, and that's going to bring people to the polls. And if we had the city election on that same day, would that be good?
It's creating more access, more convenience for people, which is a good thing. Participation is a good thing. And the city of Austin last cycle changed their elections from a May cycle to a November cycle, and it dramatically increased the turnout. It doesn't mean that there's more informed voters going to the polls, but again, you are electing people who will ultimately have to be more accountable to a larger group of people and ultimately to a larger sentiment of the public.
So we'll add that question to what we're talking about today about, are you civically engaged? What would make you more civically engaged? Do you think we ought to move the election day to November? Would that help voter turnout? Because that, I think, is the bedrock for civic engagement. Call in. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX, and we're going to be right back. Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Are you civically engaged? Do you feel like you have a voice in the city government? Maybe you are trying to speak out, but you think your voice is not being heard. Civic engagement is the bedrock of a healthy, functioning city. But is the average Joe shut out of the process? How is that working? Call in. We want to hear from you. How can you get your voice heard or at least get the communication? There's a lot of stuff that goes on in communication. You have to feel like your message has been reached by someone and they decoded it properly. And is that happening here? So give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. We're joined by Ron Nuremberg, District 8 City Council member, and Larry Schooler. He's a mediator and engagement consultant, public engagement consultant. And let's get a caller on the air. Renee has called it. Hey, Renee, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hello, thank you. And my question is this. What role does money play in terms of for the competing interest of who's going to get the most attention, the resident or a Chamber of Commerce representative, when it comes to how the dialogue is going to be carried out and the planning is going to be made in the community? What are the challenges? I have my opinion, but I'd like to hear our representative's opinion on this.
Okay, Renee, thanks for the question. Appreciate that. So, Ron?
Well, that's a great question, and there's no doubt if you look from top to bottom in our system of government that money plays an unfortunately too large of a role in representation. What I would say is that every decision needs to be measured about what's in the best interest of the average citizen, which is something that I've strived to do. With regard to money in politics, though, that is the reality. If and especially when we would move to a system of elections, say in November, cutting through the noise during a campaign season requires a considerable amount of capital to even put your message out there. So money plays a role, but you know, when decisions are made on the dais, you hope and you will hold accountable as a citizen that the representative is making decisions strictly on the best interest of those citizens.
Larry Schooler, what do you think about that?
Well, I think it's a great question from the caller, and I appreciate the councilman's response. You know, to me, this is sort of the quintessential challenge facing the field that I'm in of public engagement, because no matter what I or anybody on my staff might do, there will be folks who will make sizable donations and get a certain amount of access to certain elected officials over and above what the typical citizen might, who, you know, would like that similar level of access. But what I have to try to do is ensure as best I can some equity in the process so that the councilmen or the decision makers, as it were, are given access to information from as wide an array of viewpoints as possible, as much as time and resources will allow. So there's very little, particularly in the wake of some recent Supreme Court decisions, to do much to put a check on the actual spending of dollars on political campaigns. But I do think that my field, it's our responsibility to make sure that we do what we can to level the playing field, to make sure that anyone affected by a decision could have the opportunity to affect that decision, regardless of whether they make a large donation or get any kind of one-on-one time with an elected official.
But it's not just getting that one-on-one time, but it's also being able to, have minions go to meetings, take notes, pay attention to what's going on. That's their job. When you have money, you're going to have people with their job is to sit in city council meetings and pay attention to everything that's happening. Everyone else is working for a living, and we don't have people barely have time to pick up a newspaper or watch the entire 10 o'clock news, Larry.
Well, and what you're speaking to, if I can, is the need for a very diverse set of tools in the public engagement toolbox. You know, the era of a single building called a town hall where everyone can gather at a single point in time is perhaps only continuing in very small towns in New England. We're simply not at a point where we can expect everyone who cares about an issue to show up at a particular place and time, specifically a place and time during the work hours, as you indicated. What I think we have to think about are, can we enable people to post comments online at any hour of the day or night? Can we get people to pick up their phone and call into a city council meeting, much the way we've done in Austin? Can we get people to text in their comments? All of those kinds of things are maybe not the same as having a paid employee taking notes at your meeting or up there to advocate, but they are ways for the average citizen to participate in a process and have influence, particularly if a lot of citizens share their point of view and respond to those calls for action.
Back to the phone lines. The number is 210-614-8980 with Andrew. Andrew, hi. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to mention that I believe that I'm more informed than the average voter, and I've even gone the extra step to become a volunteer deputy registrar on trying to help people register to vote. And it just surprises me sometimes how even I come across elections that I had no idea were occurring. And I just want to know, why is there not more of an effort to, you know, disseminate the information to the public and, you know, to really try to spread the information of hey, there's an election going on, and you should get out there and vote.
Okay, Andrew, thanks for the call. Ron?
Well, I would say that if there is a stone that's left to be unturned with regard to getting the word out on elections, let us know where that is, because we have been desperately trying to increase voter turnout with all the measures that are available, and I wholeheartedly agree with Larry in mentioning the different media avenues and the fact that, you know, we need to make sure that a representative is accessible in whole or part, you know, almost 24 hours a day. We have our constituent feedback loop is active on social media. we pushed to have our work sessions and our council sessions broadcast, webcast, and archived online. We now actually have the audio recordings of all city council committee meetings available online. The important thing, I think, in addition to making all these tools available, is, and Larry has emphasized this to the city, and we've been better for it, is that we close the feedback loop. So you're not just listening to constituents, you're also listening and integrating their messages into policymaking, because a good policy will be reflective of the citizens that it serves.
During that mayoral race that we had in June, it seemed like it was all over the airwaves, every newscast, all the newspapers, we were covering it. It was just covered. And then you go out into the public and people had no idea there was a mayor's race on. I mean, people, it seems like they're intentionally sequestering themselves from information.
And I think part of that is the fact that elections in this area have almost become white noise, especially after we had, our mayor step down to go become the housing and urban development secretary. We had a string of elections almost
monthly.
Yeah, so people began, I think, to get fatigued by that. It's not an excuse, but it's there. And that's also one of the reasons why I think it's worth looking into consolidating those elections.
Okay, let's go back to the phone lines with Steve. Hi, Steve. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm a relatively new resident in San Antonio, only about 5 years. And my question to both of your guests is there a identified disparity between civic participation and economic standing, where people are as far as the scale? And there's a wide scale of economic standing among San Antonio residents. And does that affect how much they participate, how informed they are when they participate? And then how do we bridge that gap?
Okay, that's an interesting question. Thanks for bringing that one up. So I'll ask you, Ron, what's the correlation between where people are in the economic strata and how willing they are to participate?
Well, I will definitely defer to Larry on the numbers on this, but we see it anecdotally all across our city and our city's history. It's one of the reasons why we get a large turnout in Northside districts and typically have suffered through less participation in, the other districts. It has manifested itself in real policy decisions over the last 50 years in our city, and not in healthy ways as well. So, I think it does have an effect. What the causes of that is, I could take some guesses, but no, it definitely has an effect on our city government, and it has an effect on governments everywhere.
And Larry?
Yeah, I think there are some very straightforward reasons for the disparity that we're talking about here, one of which is there is a much lower set of lower amount of disposable time and disposable resources of other kinds to participate for many of the lower-income populations. Councilmember Nuremberg mentioned the change in Austin to a district system, and we have seen, as he mentioned, higher vote totals, but then as time has gone on, there have been disparities between numbers of folks in those various districts who, for instance, complete surveys or attend public meetings. In answer to the question of what do we do about it, I think one of the things we have to appreciate is for the vast, vast, vast majority of the public, the idea of taking time away from either their families or their jobs or other organizations they're already involved in, like religious or civic groups, to come to a meeting is a stretch. And so what we've got to think about is where are they spending their time already, and how can we go where they already are and take advantage of that social capital they've already invested? So, for example, can we package up the meeting we were going to host at the city hall into a meeting in a box that a neighborhood association can conduct itself and send the results back to the city? We've got something going on here called Conversation Corps, CORPS, where we've trained about 70 volunteers to host conversations all across town in places that people are likely to hang out, coffee shops, houses of worship, schools even. After the parents drop their children off, they might stick around for an hour's coffee with the principal and weigh in on civic affairs. So, I mean, even I, as someone who, thinks of himself as engaged, I have two young boys under the age of 5, if I'm not working at a meeting, facilitating a public meeting, there's a strong chance I'm not going to go. It's just not the best way for me to participate at this stage of my life. That doesn't mean I don't want my voice to be heard. It just means that there needs to be other tools for busy people like me and folks with challenges of carving out the time to contribute their opinions.
Neighborhood associations seem to be a great entry point for people. Do you agree, Ron?
Absolutely is. It's the basic level of government that we have in our community. Unfortunately, we're seeing similar trends in lack of participation at neighborhood association meetings as well. So that's why I think it's important to emphasize civic participation doesn't mean just going to the ballot box.
Yeah, but you go to your neighborhood association meeting, you can find out about the graffiti abatement program or about construction that's going to be going on. All sorts of things are going to impact you directly. Go ahead.
I would also say, excuse me for interjecting, that neighborhood associations, at least in this city and in many cities that I've seen, just by virtue of being an association, of an identified association with, you know, a board and bylaws and so on, carry significant standing with elected officials because I think they are seen as being in some way the voice of the people who live in that neighborhood differently than, you know, Joe or Joanne Smith showing up as an individual. That association wields some significant weight. And so, you know, I'm not a community organizer. I don't know, you know, what it takes to mobilize folks, but I do think associations can really change the amount of impact an individual resident can have.
And so, Ron?
Well, no, I wholeheartedly agree with that. And I think our basic form of reinvigorating our civic participation will start in neighborhoods.
Okay, neighborhood associations, that's where you see elected officials. You can voice your concerns, maybe get something done that's directly going to impact your life, and you will feel civically engaged. I want to thank Ron Nuremberg, District 8 City Council member, formerly of the Annenberg Public Policy Foundation, Larry Schooler, mediator, facilitator, and public engagement consultant. Thank y'all so much. And when we come back from the break, the frontline investigation into online sports fantasy games. Is it betting? Stay tuned.